Christmas is upon us again. Seems to happen every year. And so in this season, we're doing a series called Rediscover Jesus. And for some, I hope it's a rediscovering of what it is that he has done for us. And so this morning, we're going to look at how we can rediscover the peace that God has for us. And I think this is really important because if we were to be very honest, we probably live in a time where at least it's expressed more often than not the level of anxiety and worry and just uncertainty that exists. And, you know, to be honest, it's not always founded on things that are real, but yet it's real in their minds and their hearts. You know, I might feel unsafe, but that doesn't mean I'm unsafe, but yet I feel it, and so I deal with it, and it creates a lot of tension and a lot of uncertainty. And you know, I was thinking the other day and actually wrote something not too long ago, and I shared it. I keep a blog every now and then, and I write on it about once a year because I just get suddenly inspired. And I was in my Bible study. I was reading this chapter that we're going to look at today, and I just began to think of you guys ever blown up a balloon, right? Or maybe, you know, so you blow up a balloon, and you blow it up, and you blow it up, and you blow it up, and it just gets bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it's the only thing in front of you, isn't it? And it seems like the biggest thing in the room. And so you blow it up and you blow it up, and then all of a sudden, what does it do? If you keep blowing it up, pops, boom, and then all of a sudden it's just like shreds on the floor. And it's kind of stretched out, it's completely useless. And maybe it's a piece of gum. If you ever had it, you blow it up, and you try to get like as many pieces in your mouth, and pretty soon you got this big bubble, and then it pops, and it's just all over your face. It's nasty. But we always did that, right? And you know, on the floor and around your face are these remnants of this thing that at one point seems so big in your mind right before you, right? I mean, because let's face it, a balloon right in front of your face can look really large. But yet, so often what we find out is after it pops, it really wasn't filled with anything but hot air. And we feel like sometimes, isn't that kind of what worry feels like? Worry feels like sometimes. You know, I worry about something. I have anxiety about something. I fret and I can't get any sleep. I look to the future and I just think, man, God, there's this big balloon of worry right in front of my face, and it seems like the biggest thing to me right now. You know, some of these worries are very real. I just had a friend who found out that his father-in-law has cancer. It's a real worry. That'd be a real concern. Some of us, it's just kind of things we wrestle with internally. You know, if we're to be honest, some of us, and I'm part of, there's about a statistic that quite a high number of people, you know, 40 million people deal with anxiety at any given time. And I know I've been a part of that group where I'll look at it and I go, okay, this anxiety, it seems so big in my mind. And I know it's not based on something that's real, but yet it's very real to me and it's very difficult. And so we put it, it feels like a big red balloon. And it just seems to get bigger and bigger. And every time I worry more, it just blows bigger and bigger. And you begin to wonder that so often, I think these things that seem so present and so heavy and so burdensome on us, oftentimes they're empty things that aren't, that God never called us to carry. And I'm reminded of some things that we want to look at this morning is that in the midst of all these things, whether it's worry, anxiety, and in depression, you know, whatever situation we are facing, is that there is a desire for peace in the midst of whatever it is that we are carrying. And this Christmas, you know, you think about, we sing about peace on earth, and the reality is people desperately want peace, but yet it's found in one person, that is Christ. And I think this morning we need to be reminded, the first thing of all things is that Jesus is our peace. And I can think that, man, in the midst of what I go through, that Jesus is my peace. Because even though I follow Jesus, and I can remember as a little kid accepting him and choosing to follow him, and I knew it was my decision, and I've continued to make that decision, it doesn't mean that the things of life don't come at me, wearing me down. Sometimes it's things the enemy brings against me. Sometimes it's just the stuff of life. You know, sometimes, you know, we want to try to blame others, but sometimes the things I deal with is just because of what I've let into my life. Some of it's nothing I've done wrong. It's just being human. And yet in the midst of all of that, Jesus is our peace. He desires to be your peace. And so the part where we as believers become really persistent and honest in following him and knowing him, that becomes very important, and that becomes where we can discover this peace that God calls us to. You know, you can do all the right things. You can go to church, you can give, you can do all the things that you should do, and yet still not be close to God. And I've been in those seasons where I feel like I'm distant from him because I've done all the stuff, but I haven't dealt with what's most important, and that's my relationship with him. And we all fall into that, and if you don't, that's phenomenal. You're the most perfect person on the planet. But if all of us are honest, we all at times have wrestled with that and will wrestle with that because our human nature battles against what it is that God wants to do at times. And so, but there's this desire for peace. We know that 40 million people deal with anxiety. Anxiety and worry affect about 25% of kids between the ages of 13 and 18. We all have dealt with some levels of worry and anxiety in our lives. And you can look, there's some practical reasons why we're seeing an uprise. They say that technology is having a great influence. You know, you could say that because we have a 24-hour news cycle, we tend to watch so much negative, we assume that's all there is. And so we become worried and we become anxious. But doesn't the irony of that is it's not necessarily true. Meaning, but if all you're feeding yourself is things that cause you to be anxious and worrisome, you're going to feel anxious and worrisome. And maybe for you, it's always just this idea that, you know, you think that the worst thing is always lurking on the other side. But, you know, Jesus didn't call us to be people of worry. He didn't call us to be people of anxiety. He didn't call us to feed those things into our hearts. What did he do? He called us to be people of peace. We pursue peace. We speak peace. We desire peace. And so, you know, you think about this. You add this, the idea where what was written in Scripture was, you know, whatsoever things are pure, holy, just, honest, of good report. We're going to look at that in a moment. You know, you have an impact on the way your heart processes the things that get into your mind. And we have to be very well aware of that. And you can't always blame it on the devil. Now, sometimes it is the enemy coming against us. But oftentimes what I find is people blame it on the devil because they don't want to admit they need to do some work in their heart and their mind. And so we think, oh, the enemy's coming against me. Maybe, but maybe you're not helping him either. Or maybe you are helping him a little too much. And so we've got to be people who pursue the idea of you know, just anxiety and worry. And, you know, the reality of what I've learned is that when it comes to worry and anxiety, I've learned a couple of things. The first thing is it doesn't tell the truth. Worry and anxiety, or whatever it is you begin to build up in your mind, it's not the truth. We watch the news and we hear about wars and rumors of wars and we fear, you know, the worst, but yet the Bible says that God is my peace. The Bible says that God is my hope, that God is my refuge, and yet I worry about these things and they become things that I believe more and trust in more or put more belief in than the very thing that Scripture is trying to teach me in that moment. Now, it doesn't mean that those situations aren't real, but how we respond to them really speaks a lot to what we believe God is able to do in the midst of those things. And so we worry and we fret. And so I want to look at a passage in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It says this, Matthew 6, 25 and 34. And I was reading it, and the Holy Spirit used this passage to really remind me of some things that are true about worry and about anxiety and about the peace that God desires to bring to us. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Isn't it more than just trying to find a meal? Isn't it more a body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if he was not even dressed like one of these. And if this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you and you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, he says, it has enough to worry about in and of itself. For each day is enough of its own trouble. And I remember in devotion, I read this, and I just began to really believe. The Holy Spirit just began to speak some things to me, kind of relating to these verses that I want to share to you this morning. I think if there's a message now more than ever that the church needs to hear, that the world needs to hear, that people need to hear, is that God has not called you to live in worry and in anxiety. And I'll be honest, this is a message I need many, many times, because I let the balloon get really big in my heart, in my head sometimes. And there are times where I feel very overwhelmed, and to a point where it almost feels crippling, the anxiety that I would deal with at times. And I remembered I have to say, okay, do I really trust that God is in control? Or am I allowing this thing to be the loudest voice in my head? And I think we need to consider those things. And so, you know, some things I realized when I look at this verse, you know, it says in the scripture, can any of you worry by worrying at a single day in your life? And I realized this, is that worry and anxiety, it minimizes my ability to think effectively, bringing me to a place of compulsive worrying and ineffective thinking. Because can worry even add a day or an hour to your life? Quite the opposite. It actually, you know, begins to take away. If it doesn't literally take away an hour, it in some ways has taken up time that you now can't get back to use in an effective way. And I'll be honest, I probably, if I were to have a worry calculator, it would have a worry watch. The amount of time that I have spent worrying and fretting over things has consumed a lot of my time. And yet scripture teaches, and Jesus said to you, and he says to me, he goes, can worrying add even 1 hour to your life? And I would say that he would add, that you could add this, is like, instead, what does it do? You actually rob yourself of the time that you could use being present in the moment or doing something good, worrying about something that oftentimes you have no control over, and it robs you of that moment. There are times where I will be, Heather and I will be doing something, but my mind isn't present here because I'm maybe worried about something over here. And so really, what have I just done? I've robbed myself of time in the moment. Instead of worrying, you know, or when I'm spending time with God, instead of being present in that moment in worship, my mind is worried about something or anxiety or, oh, are they going to, you know, and we worry about so many different things, don't we? I think we all have those things that we let sit in our minds. You know, you continue the passage, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? Is not body more than clothes? And he goes, isn't your life more than just getting by and somehow surviving? Isn't it more than just being like, you know, that's what animals do. My dogs get by simply, you know, eating the food we provide for them and sleeping on the couch that they make, you know, they think is theirs. I go, you know, it's their life. He goes, look at all that I do for all these others. And he goes, and you're so much more than that. You're so much more than those things. And I began to read this, and I felt in this time, it said, it's that worry and what does it do? It diminishes my proper focus on situations at hand, and it keeps me fixated and agitated about the smallest things that can loom so large in my mind. And so worry and anxiety, what does it do? It causes us to be fixated. The God of peace did not want me to be a person fixated on things that I can't control. The God of peace did not call me to be stuck in places that I can't find my way out of. The God of peace did not leave me in places where he can't help me find my way out of. Whatever it is, your situation, the God of peace is present with me, and therefore, I don't need to fret, I don't need to worry, I don't need to have anxiety, because the God of peace is with us. And I can trust in that, and I can rest in that. And at times, I've got to remember that. I've read this passage over and over again when I get in those moments where I'm like, God, what are we going to do here? And he's just like, you know, go, the birds, I've taken care of the birds. I've taken care of the least of these things. Do you not think I'm going to take care of you? I think our culture, we try so hard to avoid any kind of difficulty, and difficulty is not always a bad thing. Struggle is not always a bad thing. You struggle to improve your health. You struggle to improve your life. You struggle to improve situations, and that struggle can pay off. And yet I think in our culture, we're almost trying to avoid anything that brings any kind of discomfort, when sometimes it's that very discomfort that is needed in order to get us to where it is that we need to go, or maybe where God is trying to lead us. So we go on, and it looks and says, so do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear, for the pagans run after these things. People who don't believe in God run after these things. People who don't trust God watch the news and worry. People who don't trust God read what's on Facebook and fret. People who don't trust God will get on to open the newspaper and believe what oftentimes isn't necessarily true. My brother was a journalist for a long time, and one of the things that he would talk to me a lot about, and you learn pretty quickly, is you don't always believe the first thing you hear. Matter of fact, most of the time, you don't believe the first thing you hear, which is often why breaking news is honestly never really accurate news. How many times have we found out later that what they'd originally reported wasn't true, but yet we hear that original report, and we panic, we worry, we fret, and we think, oh God, what's going to happen? So do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. You know, these things, what does it do? It worries or it weakens my trust in others. It makes me think that the people that are for me are my adversaries and that I can't trust other people. Creates in me a defensive posture toward those who seek to provide me safety or provide to be with me. Worry creates a distrust of other people. And so if you're regularly worrying and you create in your life a suspicious heart, that's not of God. Conspiratorial thinking and assumption and suspicion and all that is not the heart of God. It is not the spirit of God, nor should it exist in the hearts of his people. But sometimes in the church, we've created that mindset, and it looms large among many people. We constantly worry about this and that, and yet I read in the Bible that Scripture says, why do you worry about tomorrow? Why do you keep worrying about, oh, this might mean this, or this might mean that, and yet Scripture would teach us not to do that. Whatsoever things are pure, holy, just, honest, of good report. Think on these things. And so where in my mind do I not chase after the things that cause me to worry about? I have no control over. I could watch the news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I realize this, I have no control over any of it. I will never have that much power to be able to control any of it. And all my opinion in the world will do nothing to change the hearts and the minds of the people. And it'll only cause me to be frustrated, worried, or anxious, or whatever it is. And I think sometimes, our anxiety and our worry doesn't always come out. For some, it's more of an emotional response. For others, it's more of a logical response or illogical, a thinking response. And so I just find that if I allow myself to sit in worry and anxiety, I become less trusting of people. What a terrible place to live. That I can't love my neighbor because I've allowed anxiety to cause me to distrust them. What a terrible place to live that I become anxious of my friends and my family because I've allowed anxiety and worry. And Jesus said, why do you worry about these things? Why do you fret? Why do you allow yourself to get caught up in these things? And we all know why, because I think if we're honest, we let things into our hearts and our minds that don't belong there. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, and is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Worry and anxiety diminishes my faith. worry and anxiety has diminished my faith at times. I think for you to be honest, there are times that I deal with this thing and I deal with these things and I realize that, man, I'm not really allowing my faith in God to be at work in these times, in these seasons. And so where am I trusting that God, who is faithful, is a God who I can put my faith in because I know that I can trust him. And I can allow him to lead me and I can allow him to step out in faith. And there's times where I go, man, should we do this? I don't know. You know, buying the condo, really, 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 I'll be honest, buying this house really stretched my faith because I'm like, what if this, 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 and this? And I remember I'd just be like, well, what if the whole world falls apart? We can't pay for the condo. It's like, well, you know, worst case scenario, I realize is I always have family that I can go stay with, right? I always have, you know, my truck is really comfortable. Not that we want to get to that at all, but I just remember you create every scenario and you have no place where you can just go, if I trust God and we prayed over this and we've sought wisdom, then maybe I can believe that God is leading us here and I can trust the people and the God who is leading me in this situation. So my test marker was my dad. My dad has always been he's never been a real big risk taker. His big goal, because of a lot of what he dealt with, was that he wanted to provide a safe place for his family, a peaceful home. And so I remember I'd go to him, I'd go, okay, well, if my dad kind of has some questions, then all right. So I go to my dad and I go, Dad, we're thinking about buying a condo. And the first response is like, that's a good idea. Who are you? You always raise and he always raises the great questions. And I'm like, and I'm just ready for like, oh, that's a good point, Dad. Oh, I should think about that. And I was like, okay, Lord, we're going to trust you. We're going to believe that you're leading us in this. And I think, you know, we all have those moments where we step out in faith. And there's areas where you might be more apt to step out in faith. But then there's always those areas where maybe you hold back. There might be areas where I'm like, well, why don't you just trust God with that? And you're like, that's really difficult. But then I might be in a situation where you're like, well, why don't you trust God with that? And I'm like, well, because maybe experiences of life has caused you to doubt. Maybe situations you've been before involved in, you felt like, well, I don't know if God met me there. But yet God is saying he is with us and he is for us. He is our Emmanuel, our God with us. And therefore, he is our peace in whom we can trust. He goes on, he says, look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow? Do they not reap? They don't store things into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Anxiety and worry, what does it do? It distorts the truth of my own value. Oftentimes, anxiety and worry and doubt and all those things, whatever it is you may deal with, it distorts the value that you have to others and to God. For me, oftentimes my value or my anxiety or my worries will make me think, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Or they're going to think others. I remember there would be a meeting that I would go into consistently, and I always felt that everybody in that room was better than me at whatever it was we were doing. And I realized that that wasn't true. And not to say that they weren't good at what they were doing, but I was just as capable and just as able as them in what it is that we were called to do. And I realized it was my worry and my anxiety, and that often is fed by, you know, for some of us, it might be fed by our insecurities that we carry. For others, it's fed by our situations that we are in. For others, it's carried by our circumstances that we've been through. And so all these things feed into these very real situations, very real things. And so what the devil does do is take those things that he knows might be our weaknesses or our circumstances or our situations, and he'll turn them against us and begin to question our value. That when I read the Bible, I read about a God who all other things, he spoke into existence, like, let there be birds, boom. And now we have a story about birds in the Bible. You know, let there be whatever. But then he said this, he goes to create us, and he scoops us out of the earth and forms us with his hands. And he breathed in us the breath of life. And it says in Scripture that we were made in the image of God. And it says, doesn't say that about anything else on the planet. What does that say about who you are and the value that God sees in you, and therefore the value that God would see in us? And he even repeats it here. He says, He goes, God takes care of the birds of the air, and he takes care of all these, and, he, and the grass in the field, which will wither and be burned. And he goes, are you not more valuable than them? Do you not have more value than them? So why do you worry? Why do you fret? God sees the value in you. Therefore, maybe the thing we need to begin to do is see the value that God sees in us and through us. And trust that maybe he's using us because of the value that he sees. So we go on to read, and it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. And so worry, what does it do? It'll diminish the power of the moment we are in. I can enjoy the being in the presence of God. I can enjoy the beautiful moments that I find myself in, because if I don't, so often what do? We get stuck worrying about hypothetical things that probably never will happen, and it robs us of being in the moment that we are in. Because you don't need to worry about tomorrow. Be present today. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek first him. Seek first being in his presence. Seek first after the things that God calls us to. Because then all these things will be added to you. God will take care of all this other stuff. He's already promised to go before you. He's already promised to look after you. He's already promised to be the God of peace that he said he is. And therefore, I can be present in the moment I'm in and not worry about those things. And so we realize that worry is a liar. Anxiety is a liar. You know, depression is a liar. And it doesn't mean they're not real things. And I don't, trust me, I do not downplay. I have dealt with all of these things at some level. But I think sometimes we need to remember that they don't speak the truth to us in who we are, in who God made us, and who God calls us to be. And so what do we know that's true? Jesus is our peace. Jesus is your peace. Amen. Jesus is my peace. Think that for a moment. Say that over. Just say, Jesus is my peace. You think about that. Keep saying that in your mind and in your heart. Jesus is my peace. Jesus, the God of heaven, sent his son to die on a cross so that you and I could find peace in him in this moment, in any moment. And so we trust in that. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation and in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or have seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's God's promise to you. He goes, so don't be anxious about anything. Now again, I don't take light. I know today there's a chance you're going to go home and you're going to still worry. I'm going to go home and I'm going to still worry. I'm worried the Niners are going to lose to Baltimore Ravens right now, I'll be very honest. But I'm trusting that God, the outcome of the Lord is just praying that all of them will follow him. But you're going to go, and I don't take, there are people that some of what you struggle with in worry and some of what you struggle with in anxiety, it won't heal overnight. And people that deal with depression, I'll say this, if you've never dealt with depression or anxiety or severe worry, thank God. It's not fun. And for some people just to say, well, you should just get out of that. It's not that simple. It's not that easy. But we have to learn to put our place, and maybe some of us, we need to stand in the gap for some people that wrestle with these areas. And so, and you deal with depression, I'm going to stand with you in that. And I think in our culture, we so often want to push people back into something, and you know, it can be a long journey that for some sadly doesn't end well. But if we can be better at somehow loving patiently people that wrestle through this and help them discover the God of peace and withhold our judgment, withhold our criticism, withhold any of those things. We'll be much more like the church that Jesus calls us to be. You know, he calls us to encourage one another. He calls us to love one another. He calls us to be there for one another. And so what are some things we can do as we finish out this time when we look at anxiety and the worry? The first one is, when you look at the second passage, it's get to praying. I mean, get to praying. And just, if nothing else, your prayers may be over and over, God, I'm dealing with this. Here it is. God, I just put it before you. God, I need your help. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. God must be our first resort, our first response, our first responder in prayer to worry and to analyzing, to assuming, and to jumping to conclusions. My first response is getting into prayer. It doesn't mean it's a magical thing where, poof, I'm suddenly better, you know. There's times I pray and I walk away and I go, man, God was there. There's times I pray and I walk away and I feel like I'm still carrying a lot of it, but I'm making sure that I'm regularly getting into prayer, because Scripture reminds me that when I get into these moments of anxiety and worry, what am I to do? To put it before the Lord. And so we have to get to praying. And prayer has to be, above all things, the most important thing you do as a believer. Over and over in Scripture, prayer is the predominant, most important thing. Jesus said to his disciples, could you not just pray with me 1 hour? And there's regularly, Jesus went into times of prayer. He went into places, he got away to pray. That regular practice will begin to help heal what it is that maybe needs to be worked out in your hearts. Because when you get before God, it opens up to allow him to do the work that is necessary in your life. And so where do we get before God in prayer? Second thing is guard your heart. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And some of us let anything into our hearts and minds. Your fears, your worries, and your conspiracies might be the byproduct of what has been allowed into your heart. And the problem is most of us don't want to admit that this may be true. If you begin to talk to me about the things you worry about, I would probably point more, not to the reality of a situation, but more to what you have allowed into your mind and your heart. And so we sit and we worry, and so the Bible says to guard your heart. Now, some of us, we've guarded our heart in certain areas, but not in others. Some of us, we've worked really hard to, you know, maybe you waited till marriage, or you have been careful about what you feed your mind on. But then others of you, you'll sit and listen to radio, or you'll listen to people's gossip, or you'll listen, and it's just constantly feeding you things that you don't need. That's also guarding your heart in Christ Jesus. And so we have to get to praying. We have to become intentional about what we let in and what we don't let into our minds and our hearts. For some of us, we need to refocus our thoughts. There's actually some pretty fascinating science behind this, is that they say that people that worry a lot and stress a lot, that it literally creates certain grooves in your mind, and that they say the way that you can literally change the grooves in your brain, and that by retraining your thinking, you begin to actually almost in a sense, you could say, reprogram the things that you think about. So for those of us that maybe spend a lot of time worrying, you're not stuck there. It might be hard work to get out of that place, but we're not stuck there. They've literally shown patterns of where somebody's brain would show a certain groove and they began to change what they allowed themselves to think about, and it literally created new patterns and new pathways in their brain. Fascinating. And yet we see all these years ago, what did Jesus say? He goes, think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, just, honest, of good report. Who probably knew all about this long before science would discover any of it? The one who created you? And so some of us, we have to be intentional about refocusing our thoughts. I have to be many times intentional about refocusing my thoughts. Some of us dwell on things, on the wrong stuff. And it's not that it isn't true, it's just that we choose, or it's not that it's even true, we just choose to believe it. That's why we have to be so quick to not believe the first thing that comes out of the gate, or the first thing we read, or maybe we just stop allowing certain things into our head and our hearts. If God has called me to be a person who trusts in Him, and if God has promised me peace, I also have to work towards a life of peace in my heart and in my mind and towards others. God has not called me to battle against other people. He's called me to live in peace and to demonstrate the love of Jesus to other people. And so some of us, we need to refocus our thoughts. For some, we need to let others help us. What you have learned and received from me, Paul is writing this, or have seen me put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Most of us don't know where to start, and most of us don't want to admit that we even need help in these areas. But let's face it, sometimes it takes help to climb out of a pit. Yeah, so sometimes we need to find help from other people to help us get out of these places. And some of us will say, well, I'll just trust God. Well, God's leading you to other people. Wise people seek counsel, the Bible says. I remember I was in Santa Cruz. I dealt with some pretty severe times of anxiety, at times depression, and I didn't really want to get up in the morning. I'd go to bed and loved my bed, lived in Santa Cruz. I'm thinking I live in like one of the most favorite places that I love, and yet I'm miserable. So I began to go visit with a lady who was a counselor. She was a Christian. And she would just begin to talk to me, like, well, what are you going through? And I'm just like, I don't know, life's tough. I'm isolated. I'm lonely. I'm struggling. I can't seem to find my way out of this. She would just help me to process this stuff. And she loved the Lord. And she would help me look at Scripture to help me, again, literally rethink the way I was looking at life. And I couldn't do it alone, because if I did it alone, I would have stayed in my bedroom and I just would have been completely happy, never going out. Like going to some of my favorite coffee shops, I couldn't even be happy in those moments, because there was just so much anxiety built up in my heart and my mind. I'd worry about these things in such severe ways. I had to get to a point where I admitted I needed help and I let other people help me. I began to open up to my friends who were pastors, people that I could trust. And my one friend is still pastors in Rio Vista, and we regularly talk about maybe the things that we'll struggle with, and I'll just be like, man, this is what I'm struggling with right now. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. And I was just honest with them. And again, if you've never been down this road, I am so grateful that you have been spared from some of these things. But for many of us, it's a very real road that we go down, that God has not called you to go down alone. And the God of peace, not only does He provide His Holy Spirit, not only does He provide His Word, but He provides people to help you find your way out of those difficult places that we find ourselves in. Man, so often we can't find ourselves out of a deep pit. And lastly, this passage that I look at, I think it's such a powerful reality, is be thankful. He said this, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Studies have shown the power of thankfulness. Scripture speaks to the necessity of thankfulness. Get to being thankful. Even if you have to set reminders in your phone, a recent study has shown that if you regularly put into practice being thankful for like three things every day, it begins to change the way you think. And so part of what we have to begin to do is Thanksgiving cannot be a one-day-a-year practice. It has to be a regular, continual practice, because I find this. I looked around yesterday, and you know, my wife got to watch, it's the worst thing. She watched Hallmark movies all day yesterday. It was tough finding things to be thankful. Just kidding, not at all. You know, and for all the things that I worry about, and I looked around, and you know, I'm sitting there on a couch with my wife. She's watching her movies, loving life. We had hot apple cider going, because that's what you do at Christmas time, and I had two dogs. You know what I realized? God is faithful. God is good. And those things that I would let myself worry about, and those things that I would let myself fret over, were robbing me I would let rob me of those things that God had faithfully provided. I look back on my life and God has been faithful. And it doesn't mean that life doesn't get difficult, but it also doesn't mean that God leaves you abandoned in those places. Probably the most profound moment I go back to is, you know, when my mom was sick and she had passed. After she passed, we went to go eat at Mel's Diner in Folsom. And we're sitting there at 2:00 in the morning eating. It was one of the most peaceful times. You know, we had known that my mom was now with Jesus. Now, the Lord answered the prayers in a way that maybe we had hoped he would have answered differently. But the God of peace was still with us in that moment. And the God of peace was still with us, sitting there with us, holding us together, showing us that he had been with us through all of that. And so when we look at Christmas and we look at some of the things, we sing of peace on earth. And the peace on earth that is going to be provided through Christ, through God who is with us, through Emmanuel. You know, all these words and this whole story, there's so much power and significance behind all these things that we often miss because we don't take time to listen. And so we sing, O come, Emmanuel. And today you still sing that song, God, come be with us. God, come be with me. Sometimes we say that prayer because we need peace. God, Emmanuel, come be with us because in this moment I need your peace. That's what God invites you to. So we want to take communion. And so we're going to ask our ushers to come and begin to serve. And we're going to, while it's being served, sing a song. But I want to close with this prayer that I have. You know, in closing, we realize this is God's promise to us, and the God of peace will be with us. He promised us that. The God of peace will be with you, and he will be with me. My prayer for you is in the same one I pray for myself, is that the truth of Scripture and the truth of what the Holy Spirit is speaking will be greater than the lies of worry and anxiety and whatever it is I carry in my heart. And may the loudest voice in my head be the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking life into who I am and who God is. Has called me to be. That's also my prayer for you this morning. And so as we pray, I want to invite you to worship along with me as we have the elements passed out. In a moment, we'll take it together. Remember God's faithfulness. Thank you. Well, let's just worship together this morning. Can we do that?